It's really good to be here. Thank you for the welcome. It's good to be here on an exciting weekend because you're starting your church building tomorrow. Very grateful for all the hospitality and a special thank you to Noah for borrowing his skateboard. Keep working on that 720, Noah. That'll be good. And on the subject of, kind of sporting abilities, this evening we're going to look at the uniqueness of man. This morning we were considering all of the incredible details there are in creation, in the natural world, how God has thought of so many myriad things, how he has designed the world for men, women and children. This evening we're going to look at a complementary talk on how God has designed every tiny detail of the human being, that we might enjoy life. God has given richly all things to enjoy, but he's also given us an incredible body. Like this morning, there are so many things I mentioned tonight that we take for granted, and so I hope that you take fewer of these things for granted. Now, the Bible teaches we are made in the image of God, which means we are creative, emotional, spiritual beings. Sadly, in our schools, many children in state schools are told we are not spiritual beings, we are not emotional, creative beings made in the image of God. There's a real spiritual battle in education. The Bible teaches that we are superior, special stewards of creation from that wonderful Psalm 8. Man is crowned with glory and honor. The Bible has a very high view of man, very special. That Psalm 8 says that man is made a little below the angels, right up there. In contrast, in our state schools, children are taught that we're down there, a little above the beasts. Better than apes, but only a little bit better than apes. That is so different to what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we're up there, just below the angels, crowned with glory and honor. So there's a great contrast, a big difference between what children are taught today and what the world teaches today and what the Bible teaches. There's an Oxford professor who summed up human beings, Professor Atkins from Oxford University. He's an atheist. And he said, humans are just a bit of slime on a planet. That's the atheistic worldview summed up. So different to what the Bible teaches, that man is crowned with glory and honor. And if you're a Christian, you are a special jewel in God's sight. But the Bible also teaches that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so this evening, I just want to expand those verses by looking at the design of the human body to show that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are special and we are creative, emotional beings. Just to emphasize this contrast, if you read a biology book today, especially if you study biology, you read a book on evolution, and it'll say humans are evolved to be hunter-gatherers. Just to give you an example of that, if you read a book on evolution, it'll say that your hand is evolved to throw a spear and to throw a punch, to punch someone in the face. That is what, according to evolution, your hand has evolved to form a fist and to punch someone in the face. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are designed for great things. As I'll explain in my talk, you are designed to be creative, emotional beings, to play musical instruments, to draw art, to do craft work, to do cooking, to do great creative things. You are not evolved to throw a punch. But sadly, the top thing is what our children are taught in schools. There's two particular evidences that I have written about. I've written some books on this subject. And one of the things I've explained in my books is that humans are so different to apes. You often hear in the media, humans are only 5% different to chimpanzees. And in my books, I say I disagree with that. The real difference is more like 100%. And in this talk, I will explain why we are totally different to apes. Not 5%, 100% different. The reason some scientists quote 5% is because they do what's called looking bottom up, looking at the genetic code. But that is not how to compare designs. I know, because I'm a professional designer, the way you compare a design is to look top down at the functionality. And when you look at the functions of apes and humans, they are 100% different. So there's a great misnomer in the media. But also, humans are what I call purposefully over-designed, designed for much more than survival. So I've written a couple of books. On the left is a book. I've run out of copies. I do have a few copies of the one on the right, In God's Image, a booklet. That booklet in particular has been an encouragement to me. It's been translated into Spanish, it's been translated into some other languages. But that booklet on the right, I found out, because I had these photocopying royalties, that the National Health Service and many state schools around the world have photocopied that booklet for class lessons, which was the last thing I was expecting. But that's been a particular encouragement. But in the book and the booklet, I mentioned 10 particular unique features of the human body. And I'll go through those 10 very briefly tonight, and hopefully they'll encourage you, because they're 10 things that make you very, very special and completely different to apes. So I'll go through this. The first one is, humans are bipedal. We stand on two legs. We stand on two legs, we walk on two legs, we run on two legs. In contrast, apes are designed to be quadruped, four-legged creatures. And that's an example of being 100% different. You know, that is a complete difference. There are about 4,000 types of mammal, and humans are the only ones that stand on two legs. Now, to stand on two legs, there are many, many design features. 10 of the most important I've listed on the screen. From head to toe, we are designed to stand on two legs. We have balance sensors in our head. We have upright joints right through our body. We have special feet that enable us to stand upright. I don't have time to go through all of those, but I will mention a little bit of detail, the design of the feet, because our feet are very special. You may not think so when you put your socks on in the morning, but your feet are one of the most amazing parts of your body. Leonardo da Vinci once said, our feet are a miracle of design and a work of art. The reason being is that our feet are like an arch. It's very easy for me to stand at the front because I can feel the ball of my feet and the back of my feet. It's because I can easily put the center of gravity through those two points on the ground. I can stand up easily. If there was an ape next to me, his feet are like a hand. So for him to stand, it's like doing a handstand to an ape, and he wobbles all over the place because he can't feel. He hasn't got a heel or a ball of the foot. So he'd be wobbling all over the place. I could just puff, and he would just fall over and go back onto four legs. So apes cannot run. They cannot run at all because they cannot go on the ball of their feet. And for anyone interested in sport, in almost every sport, one of the keys is to be able to stand on the ball of your feet. Sometimes you hear sportsmen, you know, they're on the back foot, not on the front foot. A good sportsman knows when to get on the ball of their feet. A good skateboarder stands on the ball of their feet to do lots of tricks. Apes cannot skateboard. There was once a film where an ape was supposed to skateboard, and they discovered he cannot skateboard, so they had to do a lot of tricks with the filming. Apes have a foot like a hand. They do not have an arch. When you look at the fossil record, it's so obvious that there are no so-called ape men. The fossils are either apes or humans. And it's so easy because you just look at the feet and it's very easy to tell. Now, the human foot is even more intricate than that because the human foot has three points of contact. That means it's very easy for me to stand on one leg, like I'm doing now. I can stand on one leg because I put the center of gravity through those three points on the ground. An ape cannot stand on one leg, but it's dead easy for me. God has specifically designed human beings to be able to stand upright, stand on one leg, run on the ball of their feet. Apes can't do that because they have a flat hand. And so humans have incredible agility on two legs. And while they're on two legs, they can hold a ball or a bat or a tennis racket or something like that. I have no doubt that when God designed man, he was thinking of football, rugby, golf, tennis, all of those things that man would play. The only exception I would make is American football. I don't think anyone is designed to play American football. I do this talk a lot in the States, and I tell them I don't think man was designed for that. So this is one unique feature of human beings. This is one of the things that makes you very special, completely different to apes. I could have mentioned cycling as well. I mentioned this morning that my main research at the moment is I have redesigned the transmission for the British Olympic cycling team for all their track bikes, all their BMX. Did you remember a week ago, Bradley Wiggins said, "Sorry for not winning a gold medal, but I could put my house on winning the gold medal in Rio." Do some of you remember hearing that on the news about a week ago? The reason he said that is because my chain's going on his bike, and he is absolutely confident about winning gold. There'll be a few world records because my chain gives at least 0.5% increase in efficiency. That's me holding his bike frame in my back garden, ready to put the chain on his bike. So that's some of the work I do, and I talk a lot with these Olympic cyclists. It's just incredible what the human body can do. I've also done research on the human knee joint. I've done quite a lot of biomedical research. And in one particular paper, I explained how the human knee joint locks in the upright position. So it's really easy to stand without tensing your muscles because your knee joint just locks upright. With apes, they can't do that. They have to strain all their muscles. So we are designed to be teachers, lecturers, people who can stand up and be stewards of creation. But secondly, the second thing makes you very special are your hands. Your hands are an amazing design. Only human hands are flat. Ape hands are curved to hook onto a branch. Human hands have very small muscle bundles in them, which enables us to make fine control of our hands. The reason why humans make brilliant pianists, guitarists, flautists, clarinetists, and musicians is because we have very fine control of our fingers. Exactly what you'd expect if God had designed us to be musicians and artists and craftsmen, but exactly what you would not expect if our hand had just evolved to throw a punch. And we can make pinch grips. You can see on the screen, we can make a circular pinch grip with every one of our fingers. Apes cannot do that. And it's that pinch grip which is the key to our skill. It's not just a pinch grip, it's a perfect circular pinch grip. If you could look under the skin of your hand, you would see this kind of amazing picture. This is from Gray's Anatomy. You can see the muscle colored here. You can see the tendons here. Notice there's a spiral sheath around the tendon, a spiral sheath, as if a craftsman has put this together. Notice one of the tendons here, it splits either side of the joint. The reason that tendon splits is that it makes the fingers incredibly smooth. They would still be smooth if the tendon didn't split, but because the tendon splits, it makes the joints really soft and subtle in order that people can be brilliant pianists and violinists and flautists. And it's those tiny details of design that evolution cannot explain. It's only explainable in terms of man being designed for great things. On the right is a robotic hand, which I helped to design in my lab. We produce robots. And it's very humbling trying to copy the human hand because our designs are pathetic compared to the real thing. It's a very humbling process trying to produce bio-inspired designs. And so humans can make unique grips. I think one of the most amazing things that humans do is crochet and knitting, because it involves multiple grips with one hand. Two or three grips can be made with one hand. I can't crochet or knit at all. I don't think I can ever can. But it demonstrates the amazing skill of humans. Now, here's an interesting example. Humans can hold a pen. To hold a pen is a tripod grip, middle finger, index finger, thumb. Our hand is perfectly designed to hold a pen. That is exactly what you'd expect if God had created man. God obviously knew we should write and draw and do those things. How does the evolutionist explain we are perfectly designed to hold a pen? There are many, many details about the human being where the evolutionist has to say, that's a fluke, that's a coincidence, that's just lucky, that's a fluke, that's a coincidence, that's lucky. And they have to keep saying that. It's otherwise, they have to give a reason why we could only survive if we could hold a pen. So they have to say something like, well, there were cavemen and there were certain cavemen who, if they could fill in a cave rebate form, could survive better than those who couldn't fill in a cave rebate form, and therefore we had to be able to write with our hand. It's very difficult to explain survival reasons for that. Even when tribes are found in Australia, the jungle, the jungles of Borneo, when people come out of those places, they always, always have the potential to play concert-level music. And that is so surprising to secular science, because these people should be just evolved to swing in the trees and walk across the Australian desert. Why can they instantly have the potential to play the piano and the violin? Isn't that a great coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. All these people are made in the image of God. A third thing that makes you very different, very special, and another thing we take for granted, because I'm sure all of you do special things with your hands, cookery, driving, craft work, but often we don't give thanks to our Creator. Until something goes wrong, we just take these things for granted. But our skin is another thing which is just a miracle of design. That is a tiny cross-section of human skin, just a couple of millimeters. I have engineering colleagues who've tried to produce artificial skin. And when they look at that, they faint because they think, that is just mind-boggling. I can't begin to do that. You look at a sweat gland, and it's a perfection of design, this little tube that goes around. You think of one single hair. One single hair has its own muscle, its own blood supply, its own nervous system, its own oil gland, and it works perfectly. If you feel nervous, all those little hairs just stand on end. And when you need oil, the oil gland produces oil. That's just one hair. And skin repairs itself and maintains itself. It is just beyond what engineers could imagine that they could produce. So our skin is unique. Apes have fur over their body. We have skin. One of the things we forget about our skin is that it enables us to regulate our temperature. We used to have a Labrador. It's a bit of a bionic Labrador. He used to get really hot, and he would look at me as if to say, can you take my fur off, please? I need to cool down. And of course, I couldn't. It's really hard for a dog to cool down. Sometimes the only thing it can do is stick its tongue out. If it can't jump in the river, it sticks, and it takes a long time to cool down, just sticking your tongue out. But humans, we can work hard and play hard because we can adjust our clothing. One of those things we take for granted. But also we are over-designed. The sense of touch is a really important sense. To touch a petal, to touch marble, to touch human skin. If you have a baby, to touch the skin of your baby. The sense of touch is a really important sense of touch. And God has put thousands of touch sensors on every finger, all over our body. And as I said this morning, every designer knows that nothing happens by chance. God thought of every single one of the million touch sensors in your body and the million sweat glands in your body. He thought of every one. It's a little bit like that song, "Every Tree and Flower Was Planned and Made." It's a good children's song, but it's true of everything. Everything God thought of. It's not here by accident. That's my youngest son. That's when he was about 5 years old. Had quite an attitude at 5 years old. This is one of my favorite unique features of the human being. Facial expressions. To me, this one really nails it for human, for special creation. Facial expressions are really important. Every day, you probably react to someone else's facial expression. You may have seen a friend who looks slightly concerned or sad or happy or surprised or depressed, and you saw it in their face and you spoke to them in reaction. You may not have registered a facial expression. Sometimes facial expression is the fastest way to communicate if you're really worried or you're very happy. The fastest thing to communicate is a facial expression. It's a really important bit of our design. It's amazing how God has complemented our emotional design with our physical design. He's given us a physical face that communicates our emotional beings, exactly what you'd expect from God. If you could look under the skin of an ape, you would see very crude muscles and only about 26 of them. But in the case of the human being, we have about 50 muscles, about 24 dedicated to facial expressions. Just think about that. God never gave any muscles to the ape to make a facial expression. He doesn't want them to make facial expressions. But to humans, he gave us deliberately 24 muscles that we may smile and make other facial expressions. Just look at these tiny little muscles here above the lip. So there's a muscle around the mouth. And there are several tiny, intricate muscles that can pull the lip. Those muscles have no other function than to smile. They're smiling muscles. And again, that detail of design. How does the humanist, the atheist, explain that we could only survive if we could smile? But why? Why aren't there people who can't smile? Why could no one survive if they could smile? Sometimes it's the tiny details that evolution cannot explain. So we can make all of these kind of expressions, the cheeky smile, the big smile, surprise smile, types of frown. So you can mix different expressions and you can have grades of expressions. Scientists have actually put people in a room and they've added up how many different expressions people can make. How many different expressions do you think we can make and perceive? Someone has had a very nice project to add them all up, just counting them, spending a long time doing it. If you believe in evolution, the conclusion should be, or the prediction should be, that we could make perhaps a handful of expressions, perhaps 10 or 15 or 20. But God doesn't give in a little way. God gives in abundance. I mentioned that little bit this morning in the book of Job. Abundant water, abundant food, abundant justice, abundant mercy. Grace abounding. Abounding is a big word in the Bible. God gives in abundance. So, do we have 20 or do we have more? Well, first of all, that's a demonstration of a smile. The answer is we can make 10,000 facial expressions. That is 100% different to an ape. That is exactly what that's what God does. God doesn't make 1,000 stars. God makes 100 trillion stars. God doesn't give you 1,000 touch sensors. He gives you 1,000,000. God doesn't give you 50 facial expressions. He gives you 10,000. That is what God does. That's his character. Now, my youngest son, Josiah, he is quite a character. I asked him to do a demonstration. So I put him in front of a camera. He was only 5 at the time. He's a bit older now. And I said, how would you look? So this is to demonstrate different facial expressions. I said, how would you look if I caught you being naughty? And he said, this is how I look. So then I said, how would you look if I told you your punishment? And he said he would look like that. So different types of expression. He was only 5 at the time. Very good actor. Then I said, okay, if I tell you you've been let off, how would you look? And he said, I would look like that. So that just gives you a glimpse of all the different expressions. Just a 5-year-old, his brain has learned how to control all those muscles in the face to make facial expressions. This is what you'd expect if we had been specially created. Just one more thing on our facial expressions. Did you know that humans are unique because you can see the whites of the eyes? You can see the scalata, the whites of the eyes. I know who's looking at me and who's looking at the screen, because I can see your direction of gaze. I can see the whites of your eyes. Did you know we're unique? You can't do that with animals. If you look at your pet dog or guinea pig when you get home, you'll notice you cannot see the direction of gaze. One of the reasons you would not expect to see a direction of gaze is when hungry lions or bears or other predators go round, they look for faces. When they see a face, they go and attack it. To see a face, they need to see the whites of the eyes. So animals don't have whites of the eyes, except human beings. It's a great enigma to evolution, because according to evolution, to survive, we shouldn't be seen by a lion. So you shouldn't see the direction of gaze. We shouldn't have the whites of the eyes. Why do we have it? Well, it's obvious. God knows that communication is important, so he gave us the whites of the eyes. A young teenage girl wants to know if a young teenage boy is looking at her across the other side of the room. But God puts every one of these details in that you would expect. Then number 5, humans have unique language and speech. In the English language, there are up to 1,000,000 different words. That is 100% different to the language of apes. They don't have any vocabulary. They don't have language at all. Do you see? We are not 5% different. We are 100% different to apes. If we had evolved to be hunter-gatherers, we wouldn't speak a lot, because a good hunter doesn't natter. But humans do speak a lot, and humans have been put into a room, and they've added up all the words that they speak per day. And in this country, the official figure is the average man speaks 4,000 words per day. And so why should that be? If we're hunter-gatherers, why do we speak so much? I should also add that the official figure is the average woman speaks 8,000 words per day. It's a fact of science. That is a fact of science. That I have to warn the men here that before you feel smug, this means that women are twice as over-designed as men. So, but our ability to speak is a miracle of design. Last week, I actually saw a model of the human vocal tract. I have a slight problem with my voice at the moment. So I went into the hospital and they showed me how everything works. And I saw a wonderful model of our vocal folds. But it's just incredible what humans can do to speak. We have these fine vocal folds. We have a deep throat. Apes don't have a deep throat. The length of our mouth is the same as the depth of our throat, which is perfect for resonance and sound. We have many muscles, 26 muscles controlling the larynx, lots of others that move as we speak. Because as you speak, you make different sounds and your tongue moves to different positions all the time as you speak. your tongue's moving all over the place to change the shape of the vocal tract.
That is not what you'd expect if we had just evolved to be hunter-gatherers. But there are other things that make you very special. One is unique childhood. I should mention that if you read a biology book, all of the things I'm saying will be in the biology book. All the things I'm saying are facts of science. These things make us absolutely unique. Of course, it will disagree with the conclusions that I'm coming to, but these are all facts of science. In fact, when I was writing about this particular one, I went to the biology library to see what do these atheists, these evolutionists, think of this wonderful thing of childhood. And I was amazed when I read these books. It spoke in terms of it's very strange and embarrassing that human childhood is so long. It makes us really weird creatures. And I was astounded that these books, instead of celebrating and seeing all these unique features as being very positive, all it wanted to do was to pull human beings down, drag humans down to the level of an ape, even in the case of unique childhood. Can it be really surprising that many young people behave like animals when they are told that they are animals in the school? So humans have this childhood up to 18 years. Actually, in recent times, it seems to be being extended up to about 28 years, but it should be 18 years. Another thing that makes humans unique is marriage and reproduction, although we're trying our best to ruin this at the moment. But only humans will get married primarily for companionship. With animals, it's always for the purpose of procreation. Only humans are aware of nakedness. Only with humans only with women do they have fertile periods all through the year. So we have birthdays all through the year. That's almost always not the case with animals. And with women, the time of ovulation is hidden. And again, that is completely different to the animals. Also, the whole process of birth is very different. And if you read my book, I talk a little bit about human sexuality, and that is probably the biggest difference between humans and apes. So there are very big differences in this area. Humans also have an amazing brain, and even secular scientists will say that the human brain is just absolutely unique. The whole systems design, the intelligence, the grey matter, a real puzzle. Secular scientists still talk about the missing link. After 150 years, they are still talking about the missing link, and in particular, the brain is so different between humans and apes. There's a part of the brain called the motor cortex that drives our muscles, and remarkably with humans, half of our motor cortex is dedicated to the hands and the face. So half of our entire brain for controlling muscles drives our hands and our face. So that shows God has given us the software to be skillful with our hands and the software to be hopefully nice with our facial expressions. We are designed to be emotional, skillful people, not just physically, but in software as well. There are competitions around the world for memory. Human memory is so incredible. One of the competitions involves the number pi. You may remember pi from your school days, 3.14159265385. It goes on a bit more. It's a really hard number to remember because there's no pattern to it. It's just a unique number. So there is this competition that goes on around the world. Only men do the competition. It's not because they're cleverer, it's because they're more stupid. It's a stupid thing to remember the number pi. But the world record is held by a Japanese man. So it normally is a Japanese man that holds the world record. He spent 50 years of his life remembering the number pi and he remembered it to 42,000 decimal places. And it took him all his life to do it, and it takes about a week to... It was a very stupid thing to do, but in a way I'm pleased that he did do it because it demonstrates the amazing ability of the human mind. This is an example of overdesign. There was a three-year-old girl in Holland who had a terrible disease, and the surgeons had to remove the entire left side of her brain. And they said to the parents, because it's the left side of this child's brain, if she survives surgery, she will not be able to speak or understand what you're saying because her entire language center will go. And thankfully, she survived the operation. Just as the surgeon said, she could not speak or understand. When that girl was seven, the parents brought her back to the surgeons. And the parents said, our daughter is fluent in two languages, Dutch and Turkish. And the surgeon said, I'm sorry, but that's not possible. And they said, well, you have to speak to the girl yourself. And they did, and they looked at the notes. And the lead surgeon said this, it was amazing. I told my students to forget all the neurophysiology they were learning. Just forget everything you have learned. This girl, her brain has rewired itself on the other side of the brain. And the surgeons had been taught and were teaching that is just not possible. I've met lots of engineers and scientists who said to me, there are lots of things I've got to forget. Everything I was told in that area, it's normally the theory of evolution, I have to just forget all the rubbish I was told in that area. It's very humbling to come to see to a full extent the amazing things God can do. Any young children here who have a whole brain, don't complain about learning two languages in your schooling. Also, there is beauty. Do you recognize Vitruvian Man? Most of you have probably seen Vitruvian Man. It's a very famous sketch. But you may not realize there's a lot of very subtle design in that Vitruvian Man. Because if you're an adult, if you measure the distance from fingertip to fingertip, it will be the same as your height. So the distance of your arm span will be the same as your height. It only doesn't work if you're a child, but for adults, that's true. So therefore, Vitruvian Man fits in a square. Now, it's a funny resolution on the projector, so it probably isn't a square, but the real Vitruvian Man fits inside a square, and the legs are half the height of the body. When he does a star jump, the center of the circle, he forms a circle, and the center is his belly button, exactly his belly button. And there are other ratios in there, and brilliant scientists like Leonardo da Vinci, Isaac Newton, other great scientists were fascinated by the beauty of man. And they said they believed that God was the creator. And by the way, most of the greatest scientists that ever lived believed in biblical creation. There are some great scientists who came after Darwin, like Lord Kelvin, Michael Faraday, James Clerk Maxwell, Ambrose Fleming. Four of the greatest scientists that ever lived came after Darwin and totally rejected what he taught. And they believed in biblical creation. And incredibly, that is not taught to children in schools because it's the wrong information. It's unnatural selection not to teach children that. So I've been explaining some of these things. Also, humans have fine skin, they have fine hair, fine facial features. Obviously, every animal has its own type of beauty, but there is a special beauty to human beings. Most importantly, human beings have a soul. Humans have a unique ability to have self-awareness. We used to have a Labrador called Benji. But he never had self-awareness. He never thought to himself, am I the best looked after Labrador in Wiltshire? He never had those kind of thoughts. He just thought, where is my next meal? Where is my next meal? He just lived by his instinct. Animals do not stop to look at a sunset, but humans have a unique ability to create and appreciate beauty. Part of our brain is dedicated to appreciating beauty. Very importantly, we have powers of choice. Every second, we are choosing what to think, what to say, what to do. And every day, we make thousands of decisions. Animals just follow their instinct. You may think they're making a decision, but it is so reliable and predictable. We are very unreliable and unpredictable. Because we make thousands of choices every day, a lot of those choices are not good choices. Sometimes they're very bad choices. We stand on other people's toes. We upset people. We upset God. And because of that, we have a conscience. Sadly, we live in a fallen world. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They sinned. And we have inherited that sin. We make decisions. We make bad choices. And that's why churches like this preach the gospel, that there is a way to have forgiveness and healing if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God and was able to pay the penalty for our sin and give us a righteousness of his own. And if we believe in him, we will have new life. We will be born again, and then we will know God, and then we will be crowned with glory and honor. You can never have a fulfilling life. You can never achieve the purposes that you're fundamentally designed to achieve, which is to know God, to bring glory to him, to know him. You can never do that unless you know his forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. I shouldn't neglect to say that, of course, we're not perfect. We have disease, aging. Arthritis is a bad thing. It's to do with the fall, as I said, the fall of Adam and Eve. But if you put death and aging and disease to one side, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And modern science has confirmed the truth of what that psalmist said in Psalm 139, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So two worldviews. The biblical worldview is that man is special, unique, crowned with glory and honor. And if you become a Christian, the Bible says that you become a precious jewel in God's sight. Very, very precious. But sadly, this is the philosophy of the world. That was the quote I made earlier. We are just a bit of slime on a planet. That's a professor from Oxford University. What a sad thing that is. I mentioned this morning that I'm a senior tutor to hundreds of students at my university, and I see a lot of students who are getting depressed, and it seems to get worse every year. I think that's one of the reasons when teenagers are told they're just a bit of slime on a planet. How can you blame them for being depressed and not having hope? There is a purpose of man's design. When I wrote my book and my booklet, when I got to the end, I realized that having thought about our design, I then realized how I'd taken so many things for granted. But I also realized that when you understand our design, you see a spiritual purpose, that we are designed to do great things. I don't think it's a coincidence that 200 years ago, when society had a biblical view of the world, there were many Christians in Europe, that was when art, music was great. That's when science took great strides forward. Many people think music and art is going backwards in our modern society, but not surprising. When children are told they're apes, they're just naked apes, why should they aspire to be great musicians and great artists if they're told they're not made for that kind of thing? But also, it's, to me, it's so obvious and clear why we are upright. God wants to make it easy for us to be stewards of creation. If you look at a farmer, it's amazing how a farmer has control over his cattle and his sheep and his other animals, because God has made all the animals walk on four legs. Only humans stand on two legs. There is no creature that can stand up to us. God wasn't going to make an ape stand on two legs to give us a hard time, to battle with us. God put all 4,000 types of mammal, all of them, except humans, walk on four legs. That was deliberate by God so that we could be stewards without difficulty. We have a voice to sing praises to God. We have a brain to comprehend God's word. With modern science, with modern microscopes, more than ever, we can give glory to God for our wonderful design. More than ever, it's you know, Romans 1:20 says, his attributes are clearly seen. It's clearer than ever. But what's the reaction of the devil? The devil's not going to just stay there and not fight. So he has created this ridiculous theory of evolution that we have come from apes. I mentioned this morning that even some of my secular non-Christian colleagues, biologists, say to me in private, yeah, this theory is, it's rubbish. It cannot explain life. But they won't say that to the media because we're all supposed to just accept that evolution is a fact. And someone posted me a question this morning mentioning that Nicky Morgan has, in primary schools, from the age of five, children are now taught that evolution is a fact from the age of five. And someone has said, what can we do? So I'll just answer that, and then I have one more slide, or about one more slide from my talk. First of all, why has it happened? Many people don't realize the British Humanist Association, an atheist organization, is behind many of these changes. They lobby Parliament. They have a full-time worker on education who contacts Parliament on a monthly basis saying, you must do that. And if you look at the British Humanist website, it says, we campaigned for that change in primary school. So it hasn't really come from the government. It's come from the British Humanist Society that children from the age of five should teach evolution. So the question was, what can we do about this relentless change in our state schools? But one of the difficulties is there's a lot of inconsistency. If you go to one school, the headmaster says to his teachers, I don't mind if you mention intelligent design, because he may... And by the way, most of my colleagues in academia are sympathetic to intelligent design. So how stupid for the government to tell school teachers you're not allowed to mention intelligent design to five-year-olds when there are thousands of academics who are so sympathetic to intelligent design. But one of the difficulties for teachers is that depending on who the head teacher is, you don't know what is safe or not safe to do. So teachers are in a very difficult position. One of the things teachers do is invite university professors like myself and Andy McIntosh. Last week, I gave three talks in state schools, one in Warminster to the whole sixth form, and I gave two in Barnstable, again, to entire sixth form. So I spoke to well over 100, up to 200 sixth formers just last week. Why did the teachers invite me? I can say anything I like. I'm a university professor, so I just tell them blankly evolution is rubbish. And those sixth formers were so interested and pleased to hear someone talking about intelligent design. My university students love it when there's a big argument on a controversial topic, and they cannot understand why academics are not supposed to debate it, children are not supposed to hear about it. And a lot of my students, including non-Christian students, they say to me, if evolution was true, why are they so defensive? Why are they so angry? Why do you ban this? Why do you ban that? And that often makes them very interested to know more. So there is a spiritual battle. A lot of atheist organizations have written to my university, written to the vice chancellor, asking for me to be sacked. It's happened many times. I've had a lot of abusive emails in my intray. So I can tell you the spiritual battle is real. I think I have one. Okay, it might be after this slide. But first of all, man is physically unique from head to toe. Unique spiritual being. And Don't forget, we are purposefully over-designed. You are designed for much more than eating takeaways, watching TV, just surviving. You're designed for a lot more than that. You're designed for skateboarding and piano playing and great artistic things. Just before I pass over to Graham, I still have a few books and DVDs left. I've run out of the books on Design of Man, but I still have some booklets on the Design of Man. They're only £2. That's the top right in God's Image. I actually have one DVD of this talk, actually, The Uniqueness of Man. I did that in the United States, that DVD in the United States. I have another DVD, Inspiration from Creation, that was made in Australia. This country is not very good for making DVDs. But the most recent books, one is The Star of Bethlehem. If you're not a Christian, you are very welcome to take a free copy of that. And I'll just mention again, and I've noticed it has generated some interest. I had this book, God's Way for Romance, and it's about back to biblical courtship. As I said this morning, there are a lot of very good books in the States, but very few in this, hardly any in this country, on biblical principles for courtship. And it's not unrelated to my creation talks, because in this book I argue that God has designed a way, and God is perfect in wisdom. God has designed marriage in particular as a safe and the way to have romantic fulfillment. If you have the right view of marriage and things that go with that, everything else falls into place. But part of it is trusting that God has designed things well. So I encourage you to look at that as well. But it's been really good to be with you. Really enjoyed my day, especially with Graham and Claire and the wonderful children. And I look forward to more skateboarding with Noah next time I come. Thank you.
Thank you.